Shavua Tov. Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Tet. And we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah, right near the top of the daf. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yecholim Mamzerim Litaher. You know, it's interesting, Sir Rabbi Tarfon, there's an Eitzah that a Mamzer can have his children be kosher and not be mamzer. How is that? Geitza. Well, let's say a mamzer would go marry a shivcha. So then the child would be an evet. Then if he's meshachrer, the child, so now that child becomes a ben chori, and then he becomes a normal Jew. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, raise evet mamzer. He's even worse off than before. Now he's not only a mamzer, he's also an evet. Wait a minute. Is Rabbi Tarfon saying that l'chatchila, we would tell Mamzer that he's allowed to go and marry a shivcha? So that means that according to Rabbi Tarfon, there's no iser in marrying a Mamzer marrying a shivcha? Because all of those dinim, lo yakadesh b'vnei Yisrael, those halachas were not said to Mamzerim. Is that the point? Because why would that be? That they're considered to be like something like a Kadesh anyway, Bnei Yisrael, because, I mean, look, their entire existence is based on an inappropriate sexuality, and that's the idea of Kadesh. As Rashi says, Kadesh or Kadesha is someone who is dedicated to sex, dedicated to znus. So the idea of a mamzer is bichlal, someone that is a full expression of this idea of free, non-specific interrelationships that result in mamzeres. Maybe, therefore, there was no iser. So maybe that's what Rabbi Tarfon holds, that even lechatchila, it would be mutter. And therefore, you could actually tell him, yicholim litaher, meaning beheter, let them go and marry a shivcha. Or was he only saying that in the event, the avad kamar, in the event that he went ahead and he had married a shivcha knani, so then the child could... No? So then, b'di avad, if he married, so then it would be that the child could be kosher. Tashma, amrula l'Rabbi Tarfon. Look, here's what the Chachomim responded to Rabbi Tarfon. They said to him, you know, you only came up with an Eitzah to be Metayer, the males. Because you said that a Mamzer can marry a Shivcha Kananit, but you didn't do anything in order to be Metayer, the Nekevot. Why is that? If, in fact, this would be an Eitzah, so Lechora, this could be an Eitzah even for the Nekevot. Because, now why that's true is not really very clear. Why for the Nekevot exactly would it be an Eitzah? Why in the world would an Eved Abba Bas Yisrael, isn't the halacha that an Eved Abba Bat Yisrael, the Vlad is Kemaisa? That's what we said. So what would be the Eitzah anyway? See, what the Rachachomim retaining to Rabbi Tarfon is, what you told the person to do is not really mut. So Bishlevi is a male, so he doesn't worry so much about what people are going to say. He's going to go to some place and where he can get hold of a shivcha. He'll buy a shivcha. He'll impregnate the shivcha. And then when he has a child, he'll free her. It's completely up to him. So now he's able to be matire his children. Masha Enkein, a woman, is going to be frightened to do such a thing. She's not used to going around and flying off to some other place where people don't know her. And then she goes and she manages to get an Evet to marry her. And so that's not so pashut. So that's the meaning in the Gemara. Because take a look how it continues. Because Iyamet l'chatchila ka'amar, if what Rabbi Tarfon said was that it's okay to do, so then couldn't a mamzeret do the same thing? So if she's not worried that she's doing something wrong, then she doesn't have to go running around and figuring out how to do it. So she could do it in her own place. And that's a little strange. What good would it do her anyway? So there's basically an approach of the Shita Lo Noda Lami in which he suggests that the idea would be that if she would go ahead and an Eved Shenasa Mamzeret should be Eved, even though the idea is that the Vlad is Gemotah. So he explains that the Gemara held that the only time we say the Vlad Gemotah is where we're talking about a kosher who is Asura in an Eved. But a Mamzeret, because she's Mutar L'chatchila to get married to an Eved, according to this approach, if that would be what Rabbi Tarfon is saying, so in that case, the Vlad would be an Eved, because wherever there's a tzad, that there's avdus in the child, so then the child is also an Eved. The only time we would be koveya that a Vlad kimota is where the kimota would mean kosher, but if she herself is not kosher, she's mamzeret, so then we wouldn't say a Vlad kimota. Okay, lemaisa in the end, none of this really matters all that much, because what we say is, if you're going to tell me that this was a din l'chatchila mamzeres namitin tziv la'avda, why can't she get married to an Eved? Says the Gemara, it could well be that it really is mutter. But the point is that an Eved in lochias, what good is it going to do her? The only time that we say that the child would be mityaches after a father is where the father himself has the ability to create yichus, but an eved is like a chamor. So the shvula kampoim a chamor means there is no chias. It doesn't relate to the eved in any way. And therefore, it's not going to do her any good. That's why it didn't address her. Tashma. Well, I'll bring you a raya from an actual case. Rabbi Smaloi, he, remember in those days, the Talmidim used to stay by various people and they would feed them. So the ushbezichne of Rabbi Smaloi was a mamzer. And Rabbi Smaloi told him, you should know, it's such a shame because if I knew you before you had gotten married, I could have given you an etza for your kids not to be mamzer. I mean, now it's too late. You've already got a pile of kids. You got married without me, I understand. But if I only had known you earlier, tihartino livinacha. So now, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Tarfon's etza was indeed an etza l'chatchila, okay, and then it makes sense. Rabbi Smaloi would have told him to go and to marry a Shivcha Knanis under these circumstances, because since he's a mamzer, so there's no iser of lo yekadesh b'vnei Yisrael. Elai Amret, the Rabbi Tarfon was only saying b'diavad. I understand. So Rabbi Smaloi is saying, well, it's a shame I didn't know you before. I would have told you how to do averes, and I would have said you can go and marry a Shivcha. I mean, he would never have said that. So then it doesn't make sense what he was saying. It must be, therefore, that he was saying that even l'chatchila, because how is he giving him any kind of etzer to do an avera? Says the Gemara, no, the truth is that actually Rabbi Tarfon is only b'diavad. However, there's still an etzer in which you could get done l'chatchila. How is that? Because he would have given him an etzer and told him, look, what you need to do is go steal something, and then you won't have enough money to pay it back, and then Beis Din will sell you, and once Beis Din sells you as an Eved, so then you'll be allowed to marry a Shivcha. So then it would be mutter. The obvious question is, so why, how is it mutter to tell him to steal? I mean, that's just as problematic, isn't it? So one way of understanding this, which is, I think, the bottom line of what many of the Rishonim are saying, is that the Gemara expects you to understand that, yes, what ultimately that means is that we would be going bedavka aliba the shita of Rebbe Eliezer, because remember before we had back in the first parak that echad zeh v'echad zeh rabo moser lo shivcha knanit. It doesn't matter whether he's sold by Beis Din, doesn't matter whether he sells himself. So in other words, we're talking about, we have etzes. In the end, you'll have to come on. We don't want to say dafka according to Rebbe Eliezer. So we said, okay, this is how you do it. However, there are various approaches among the Rishonim and among the Achrayim in which it would be mutter to give him an etza. Because, first of all, this comes onto the issue of whether taking something in order to give it back is considered to be a real geneva or not. So even though we paskin that it is, but some want a taina that in the event that we understand that the das of the person that you're stealing from if he would know that it's being stolen in order for you to be metayer your children, so then he would, in the same way that we say you're allowed to use somebody's sefer, because it's assumed we have a chazaka, so over here also we would assume that anyone would try to help him get his children to be kosher. So you don't necessarily have to come on to Rebbe Eliezer. In any event, the point is that you can't bring a raya from here that Rebbe Tarfon said l'chatchila, because maybe there are other ways in which it would be possible to do it, afilo beheter, even if a mamzer is usher in a shivcha. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Who are you fooling over here? There was no din of Eved Ivri in the time of Rebbe Smaloi. Didn't we say ain Eved Omar Mar ain Eved Ivri noeg elam bisman shayovel noeg? At the time of Rebbe Smaloi, there was no Yovel. So how could we possibly have gone ahead and told him, go get yourself sold as an Eved Ivri? This doesn't make any sense. The only way to understand what it was that Rebbe Smaloi was telling his Ushpazichle is that, in fact, it would be mutter for you, which means that he held it Rabbi Tarfon l'chatchila k'amar. Shma amino. Om Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel, indeed, that's the halacha, that, like Rabbi Tarfon, and that if he marries a shivcha, the child is not an Eved Mamzer, the child is, in fact, a Yisrael kosher, after his Meshavar. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, hareza Eved Mamzer. Where does Rabbi Eliezer get the idea that the child would be a mamzer despite the fact that he is coming from a shivcha and now should be basically like a katan shenaylad when he becomes a Jew? Why does he become a mamzer? Answers the Gemara, because we have a special pasuk that tells us, Gam dor asiri lo yavo lo, b'kal Hashem. So what do you mean lo yavo lo? What is the lo? How do you say, Dora Siri lo yavo? So this idea of lo is that when you're dealing with mamzerut, always look at whatever remnants of mamzerut there are. It always go according to that lo. It always follows the mamzerut. And therefore, it wouldn't matter. So even if there's just one little element of mamzerut, that's what defines everything. And the vlad is a mamzer. And according to Rabbanan, that's an interesting point. I mean, they argued, but why don't they agree that, in fact, even the son of a shivcha would be considered to be a mamzer? So that, says the Gemara, the Rabbanan would say that that pasuk is talking about a normal Yisrael that marries a mamzeret. And over there, I would have thought that, look, the din is that a child always follows the mishpacha of the father, because it says in mishpachotam levet avotam ktiv, which means that when it comes to yichusim, a child, the same way the child of a kohen is a kohen, so then the idea over here is that if the father would be kosher, so then the child should be kosher. Why should he go according to the mother? Therefore comes along the pasuk and says, no, it's always going to be a function of the mamzerut, lo yavo mamzer. That mamzerut, even if the father is not a mamzer, the mother is a mamzeret, lo, go follow that mamzerut even for 10 generations. Okay, so that's a very interesting point. I mean, how indeed, if we didn't darshan that pasuk of lo, the way the Chachomim darshan the pasuk of lo, how would we know that if a mother is a mamzeret, that the child is a mamzer? Why doesn't Rebbe Eliezer need it to tell me that? How can he use it to tell me even a bat shivcha would also be a mamzer? So Rebbe Eliezer, doesn't he need the pasuk to tell me the din of Yisrael that was nice a mamzeret? How does he have another pasuk then? Where would he know the din of a mamzer that married a shivcha? Answers the Gemara, look, it's exactly the same thing. I mean, isn't it true that we took the overall halacha, which is usually lemishpachotam levet avotam, and we would always go according to the father. And what did we do? We said, but in this case, it's different. Why? Because it says lo. Okay, so then that means that lo overrides our concern with the mishpachotam levet avotam. Therefore, says Rebbe Eliezer, so here too. What was the mocker that we said that the child would always go after the mother, and that it wouldn't be part of Yisroel, because it says Hayishav Yiladea Tiyel Adonea. And how is it possible that the Odin should own the child of Yisroel if he has a din of Yisroel? So from there we learned that we always look at the mother if she's a shivcha. But in the same way that that's the general rule, just like L'mishpacham L'veit Avotam was a general rule, always to go with the father, the same way that the law tells us, don't worry about that, in this case, go bus to the mother, if she's a mamzeret, the same thing is true over here. Even though normally you're right, we would say that the mother is kovat, but in this case, since it says law, it's telling us, wherever there's a tzad of mamzerus of any type, then indeed follow the mamzerus. And the mamzerus always asserts itself. And the Rabbanan. So that's a good point. So, I mean, we answered the Rabbanan. We said, okay, according to Rabbanan, we have a usage for the pasuk. The usage is that if the mother, a regular Jewish mother, is a mamzeret, so then the child is a mamzer, even though the father is kosher. So, I mean, what's their answer for why we don't say the same logic and use the law to be docha yishav yeladati yeladonea, that this is not normal, because one of the parents is a mamzer, wherever any of the parents is a mamzer, we follow the mamzeres, because it says yavo lo. Say the Rabbanan, it's not the same thing at all. Because the Rabbanan say, look, you're talking about a child in the uterus of a shivcha knanit? That's basically a child in the uterus of a horse. What difference does it make? There's no human element there at all that would be able to allow that child to be mityaches after a human father. So how are you going to learn from lo? There is no lo. There is no element of the human there at all. And therefore, until the shichrur, there would be no issue of following following the father. Hadran alacha omer. Sir Richard. All right, so now we begin the closing issues of Masechet Kiddushin. And that is...
I called for a drink.
Okay. And that is the question of the impact of the Kiddushin on the kashrus of a child, and what are the different levels of such kashrus that define the nature of where Kiddushin is appropriate, even if it may not be mu'ukav, but where there's some isser that's involved. So before we started talking about inyonim, in which there's an isser chorus, and isser lav that's ma'akiv kedushin, and creates mamzeres halibah de Rabbi Akiva, and the difference between that and isserei kuhuna, and the machlokas in Rabbi Akiva between Rabbi Samoy and Rabbi Shevav about what Rabbi Akiva, how far did he go, and so on. But now we want to talk about 10 different dargas of dinim that have to do with who is allowed to marry whom, lechatchila. Depending, I mean, there might be Yisrael Esei, there might be Yisrael Kuhuna, and there might just be the question of what the Yichusim are. How do we define the Yichusim, which we began discussing here, only in terms of the Inyan of Mamzeres or Mitzrisheni and so on. But what about other more delicate issues of Yichusim, such as a Halal and things like that? Okay, so says the Gemara that the amazing thing was that there was a time in history in which there was an attempt to actually not just define this, but to make certain that we would be able to maintain control over Yichusim. And what happened there? So remember that all of Klal Yisrael was basically in Bavel, and all of the Talmidei Chachamim, and the Anshei Knesset Hagdela, and we had all of these those who would grow into the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, we had the last of the Levim. All of this was part of the community in Bavel until Ezra came from Bavel to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, to complete what was left up in the air. And when he did, he brought up a lot of people with him. Unfortunately, it was only 40-some thousand people, But what he did before he went was that he took all of the issues that had to do with psulim and took them out of Bavel. The reason that he took them out of Bavel is because together with him came the Talmidei Chachamim and leaders, and Sanhedrin would now be sitting in Eretz Yisrael, and basically Bavel was left to its own, to deal with its own problems. That Ezra felt he couldn't do. So he wanted to make certain that in order to avoid assimilation of all of these various types of Yisrei Yichus in Bavel, he was mefarsim them, as we'll see exactly how he managed this, and he brought them to Eretz Yisrael, where over there Bezdin would make certain, because the Bezdin was constantly checking to make sure that the Kayanim that were in the Beis HaMikdash, that they would be kosher and that their children would marry into the Kuna, and so on and so forth. So because of that, there was a constant pulse that they kept their fingers on the pulse of the Yichusim. Masha'inkin, they couldn't allow that to happen to Bavel because there was nobody to keep their fingers on the pulse. So this Mishnah defines what are the 10 levels of Yichus that we find coming up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Asara Yuchasim, so there are 10 sets of Yichus that came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Alumi Bavel. We have Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim, then we have Chalalim, which are Kohanim, Chalulim, that are were children of Psulei Kohuna, Gerim, then we have Shichrur of Avodim, which gives them a din similar to Gerim in terms of marriage, then we have Mamzerim, then we have Nesinim. Remember, I have a big machlokes about what the Nesinim are. We know that the Nesinim were the members of the Shiva Amamim that had fooled originally Yehoshua and pretended that they were actually not from the Shiva Amamim. And because of that, they accepted them as Gerim, and when they found out who they were, the truth is they could have become Gerim anyway, but when they found out who they were, so they made them the Shoya Veimayim for Yisrael. And then afterwards, David was Geizer Aleihem. So it's a big machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, what that means that David was Geizer Aleihem. Rashi learns that if a person is Mizgayer, even if it's from those who are Usser to allow to live, but if they came and they were Mizgayer, so then of course you allow them to live and they're Gerim. And at that point, they lose the Isser D'Oraisa of Lo Titchatein Bam. And later on, when we saw that the Netinim were so cruel at the time of Shoal that they didn't want to be Meichel and so on, so he was geyser on them that they're usher to marry. That's how Rashi understands it, so that these were the Givonim. Tosfos learns, no, the Lo Titchatein Bam is D'Oraisa. The question of David was geyser aleihem is that when he saw their behaviors, as the Pasuk says, we see that lo mi bnei Yisrael hima, they were definitely not Jewish, the way that they were acting. So because of that, he was gezer on them that they should remain forever the slaves, so to speak, to be doing all of the dirty work, and they were supposed to be in charge of cutting the wood and bringing the water. That was the gezerah, but the Yisr of Chitun is the Oraisa, according to Tosfos. And then we have two additional lower categories, Shtuki, the Asufi. So we'll see, Shtuki means someone whose father is unknown, and Asufi is someone whose both father and mother are unknown. It's a baby that was left on the doorstep, so we have no idea what it is. So let's go through how these various sets interrelate. Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim can freely marry one into the other. Leviim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, Gerim, and Mishuchrarim are also freely able to marry one another. We can't include, obviously, Kohanim here, because Kohanim, in fact, are Asur and are Chalala. So we wouldn't be able to have included that, and are also Asurim in cases where we have a Cheshash of Zayna or any of the Psulei Kohuna, which we will always have when someone is coming in from one of the Yumais. How about the later categories? Gerim, Mishuchrorim, Mamzerim, Nesinim, Shtukim, and Asufim are also mutter to marry one another. Now this, we'll see, is actually a machlokas. So the Tana here holds that kahal gerim lo ikre kahal. And why did we include, why is it mutter for a ger to marry a mamzer? Because it says lo yavo bekahal Hashem, and that doesn't include gerim. So we're going to see that this is by no means the das of everyone. But this is called kahal gerim lo ikre kahal. We're going to be getting to this in the Gemara. What exactly, how can we allow a shtuki and a sufi to marry a mamzer? Since the shtuki might be kosher, the asufi might be kosher, why doesn't it have to be machmir? So we're going to see that we learn out of a pasuk that the only time that we have the isurim of mamzerus is where you're dealing with a vadai isur, not in cases where it may not be us, or we have a pasuk that we're going to learn that out from. Now, what does the word shtuki and asufi mean? Well, Elu heim shtuki. What the definition of a shtuki is that he knows who his mother is, but he does not know who his father is. So why is that called shtuki? Because every time he says daddy to somebody, his mother says, shh, shut up. So shtuki means shut up. So she is not ready to let the kid call someone daddy. And a sufi means, like the word means, someone who was gathered in from a basket somewhere or from the market. Nobody knows who he is or what he is. Eino makir lo et aviv, lo et imo. But Abishol said that this shtuki is the wrong way to refer to them, and actually a shtuki should be called a biduki. And the Gemara is going to end up explaining that according to Abishol, we can check it out by speaking to the mother and actually being machshir the child, as we'll see. Asori yuchasim olu mi babel. So why do we say Olumi Bava? Why not just say they went there to Israel? What's this business of they went? They went up specifically? Yes. Milta Gavurche Kamashma. Once we're telling you, we need you to understand that the Mishnah wants to tell you something that is a famous braisa, that since it says in the Pasuk Vekamta V'alita L'makom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha, that wherever you have a suffix of din, you're supposed to get up and alita, go up, ascend. Why do I have to ascend? So, you see from here that the Beit HaMikdash is considered to be the highest part of the world. So, the Mela point over here, it does make sense to say literally, but it means that in terms of the Aliyah, of the Kedusha, and the awareness level, the higher you go is as you go up to the Beis HaMikdash. And it also tells us that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all other countries. Wait a minute, that doesn't follow. Bishlom Beit HaMikdash Gavol Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Yes, that part it does follow, because, look, I mean, the Pasuk says, Ki Yipalei Mimcha Davar L'Mishpat, Bein Dam L'Dam, Bein Din L'Din, Bein Nega L'Nega, Divrei Rivot B'Sha'arecha. So if you have arguments anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, V'Kamta V'Alita, which is the Lishkas HaGazis. So that tells us that wherever you started going from in Eretz Yisrael, when you come up to the Lishkas HaGazis, you're going to be in the highest place. Okay, understand that. But how do I know that if I'm coming from India, how do I know that this is the highest place? So how do I know Eretz Yisrael is Gavoha Mikol Haaretzot? That doesn't follow from a pasuk that's referring to locations in Eretz Yisrael. That's because it says in the Pasuk, Lachain, Hine Yamim, says Yirmiyahu, the days are going to be coming where people are never going to say again, Chai Hashem, Asher Elah, Pnei Yisrael, Meretz Mitzrayim, because there's going to be such a massively greater event. Kiim, Chai Hashem, Asher Elah, Asher Evi, Etzera, Beit Yisrael, Meretz Safona, Umikol Haaretzot, Asher Yedachtim Sham. So it says over here, Asher He'elah v'asher hevi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought up from all over the earth, north, east, south, and west. That means that it is actually, Eretz Yisrael is higher than anywhere else. So, but why doesn't it say, Olu l'Eretz Yisrael? Why does it say, Olu mi bavel? I mean, actually, now that you mention it, I mean, ultimately we're going to talk about the Aliyah from anywhere on earth. So why don't we just say, Olu l'Eretz Yisrael? Why do we say, Olu mi Babel? Because The point here is to explain how Rabbi Elazar understood the entire event. The entire event was built around the impact that it was to have on Bavel, and therefore we're stressing Bavel. And that is the Omar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Allah Ezra mi Bavel Ache Asa'a Kisolet Nikia the Allah. That the whole idea of Ezra was to see to it that in Bavel there would be nothing that could be assimilated accidentally or even just out of amaratzes into destroying the Yichus. And therefore, he wanted to take out any psula yichus, leaving behind beautiful, fine flour after it's been sifted and all of the psulas was taken out. Itma. Abaye Amer, when it says olu mi bavel, it means they went up, meaning on their own. Olu doesn't say he dragged them in chains, does it? Rava Amar, no, actually the meaning of the Mishnah is He'elu, that it's, they actually were dragged there, and he made certain that they came up. And this machlokas between Abaye v'Rava seems to be about the din of Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar said, as we just pointed out, Lo Allah Ezra Mibavel Acha Asa'a Kisolat Nikiya. So Abaye, who says that these people left on their own, he apparently doesn't hold of what Rabbi Elazar says, because, I mean, how could Ezra have made it like the Solat Nikiyah unless he made it? He did something to actually force it to be that way. He put it through a sifter, in other words. So apparently Abaye doesn't hold that, whereas Rava, who says no, He'elah means he brought them up, and so because of that, he apparently dragged them up if necessary. Well, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe actually, by saying it could be everybody agrees with Rabbi Elazar as the historical basis of what it was that Ezra was doing. The machlokas is, how did he manage to get everybody up the Bavel? So basically, Abaye holds, Mar Savar, Afrushe Afrushinu. What he did was that he published a genealogy, and all of the people who were puzzled, he put it in the New York Times. And therefore, they went up on their own. And it was once it became so clear it was public knowledge, nobody was going to marry them and so on. So they decided, you know what, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. At least we got a chance. People don't know who we are, you know. And so they were ready to leave on their own. Whereas Rav holds Mar Savar, Bal Korchayu Askina, that they actually were not left up to them to be taken to Eretz Yisrael. He also actually physically remove them if they didn't get the message. So according to Abaye, who says that they went up on their own, that would explain what Rav Yehuda said, namely that according to Shmuel, kol ha'aratzot isa le'eretz Yisrael, le'eretz Yisrael isa le'bava. So basically, what we say is, the question exactly what Isa means is, Rashi says three different pshatim in three different places. So, okay, here, the idea of Isa, that's the way that we spoke about it also in other mesechtas, is that the idea of Isa is that that represents a mixture. So a mixture, because when you make an Isa, you have to use all types of different ingredients, right? Use flour and water, and you have to put in bran. After all, Richie would never eat any bread if it doesn't have bran in it, right, Rich? So you got to put in bran in it, salt. That's a whole big deal. I mean, these are basically Richie's pizza we're talking about. Here we go. So in that case, we can refer to something which is mixed with all types of exciting things. We won't talk about the other exciting things that Richie used to put into the pizza, but it's mixed with all kinds of exciting things. And because of that, so that would be the reason that we would call mixed genealogies Isas, right? That's one approach. Rashi brings elsewhere, it's talking about an Isa. This is something that would be close to Rashi's heart, that actually Isa is a reference to the where you extract cream of tartar. It's the leftovers of the crushed grapes on the bottom. So it's like the whatever is left after you've taken out all the good stuff. Okay. But anyway, so let's just take the idea that it's mixed. So what it says over here, compared to Eretz Yisrael, all other countries are like mixed genealogies. You can't be sure you can marry there. Eretz Yisrael, relative to Bavel, is itself like Esau, because we said that Eretz Yisrael, the Psulim came with Ezra, and he made Bavel like Sirlas Nikia. So it was already fine, cleaned out flour. So then, okay, that doesn't make sense according to Abaye. But according to the Mandiyama Rava, who says, He'elum, that actually Ezra forced them up. So what does that mean? I mean, that must have been a heck of a scene, right? People screaming, yelling, the cops pulling them out. I mean, oh my gosh, it was all over the newspapers. I mean, so everybody knew who they were. So made a idea. So then why would anybody have married them? So why don't we say that Eretz Yisrael was also very well protected from any mixture of Psulim, because Ezra created a big scene? Says, well, yes, you're right. They were definitely known, but they were only known in that generation. I mean, you know, people don't remember from one door to the next. I mean, look around you. History doesn't exist for most people. So nehidi yadi lahu dora. So in Bavel, where there actually was no one left to get confused with, that's Yisanekia Lederes. Bashenk and Eretz Yisrael, which had a large group of people that were actually Psulim. So even though there was no danger immediately of their becoming assimilated, but, you know, as the generations passed, it would become less and less well-known. Okay, Bishlam Alamandi Omar Alu. So according to Abaye, he says they went up on their own. So if they went up on their own, so then that means that Ezra did not maintain strict control over who was going up. And that would explain why it is that when Ezra arrived at the Ahava River, so he says, Ve'kaptzeim el anahara ba'al Ahava, so I came to this river, Ve'nachnasham yamim shlosha, we camped out there for 3 days, and during that time, we did a census. I didn't find B'nai Levi that would be able to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So as Rashi points out, even though it says Beferish, that the Levim came with Ezra, they were not Levim that could pay in the Beis HaMikdash. Those were the Levim that have been waiting to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Those were the ones who, when the Nebuchadnezzar commanded them to play the Shirei HaBeis HaMikdash, when he was dragging them to Bavel. So what does it say over there? Eich nashir shir Hashem al admat nechar. It doesn't say lo nashir. It says eich nashir. What does that mean? It means that they actually made themselves balei mumin, tore off their thumbs, bit off their thumbs, so that, well, how are we supposed to play? So then that means that those Levim were not kosher for playing on the Beis HaMikdash orchestra. That's what he was saying. So I was looking for B'nai Levi that would be working in the Beis HaMikdash. If you're saying that they had to do all of this with that, like a major police force, they had like a secret service, they had everybody's birth records. I mean, what do you mean when he says, I got to the river Ahava and I checked it out? You knew from the beginning. No. He knew who the Psulim were. He didn't know. He didn't look at the Ksherim. So he had no idea whether he had Levim that were kosher or not. Only over there when they came to the Ava, then he did there Bipsulim. Ksherim lo is there. So on the way, they checked it out. Okay, so now we say Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. So where does it say that Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, all three went, and the rest? Where do we know that? Nesinim and so on. Well, it says, Vayeshvu Kohanim v'alevim, Umin ha'am, v'hamishorarim, v'yashoarim, v'anetinim, v'orehem, v'chol Yisrael v'orehem. So this was all of the people that had come up to Eretz Yisrael with Zerubbabel. It says beferish that there were all of these people that were there. Okay. Chalole, Gere, Charure, Chalole. How do we know that there were Kohanim Chalalim that went up to Eretz Yisrael? Titania Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gedola Chazaka. You want to learn how powerful a Chazaka is? that even though we don't have any kind of raya, we will use a chazaka to create a situation that goes beyond just continuing what we did. We will base the future on an expansion of what it was that a chazaka had determined. And I'll show you how we know that. It says over here in Ezra, Ubibnei HaKohanim, Bnei Chavaya, Bnei HaKotz, Bnei Barzilai, Asher Lakach, Mibnot Barzilai Agiladi Isha, Vayikare Al Shmam. So these were all people that were known as Kohanim, and when Ezra insisted that everybody has to be confirmed on their Yichus, Eile Bikshuk Tavam Emit Yachasim Velonim Tso. So they were all looking for their passports. These guys did not have a Kohen Kosher passport. Couldn't find them. And they claimed we can't find it. All right. So what they did was is they threw them out from the Kohuna. So basically, they were turned into Chalolin. The reason is, of course, because during that time, we find that many of the people had married Goyim, and anybody where they had married, even if they were Gerim, but for a Kohen, you're not allowed to marry a Georet. And therefore, they were treated as Chalolim, and they couldn't prove with their birth records that this wasn't the case. And these families specifically were looking for their passports, they claimed, and they couldn't find them. So Hatushata said to them, Hatushata is a reference to Nehemiah. The reason that he's called Hatushata is because that is the word for hitir shtiya. They were matir hatirshata. They told Nehemiah that he is allowed to drink stam yena. Why? Because remember, the whole story was that he was appointed the steward of the wine for the melech. And that's basically how he achieved all of this, is that he managed to get very close to the king and he persuaded him that something needs to be done about the situation in Eretz Yisrael. But in order for him to be the wine steward, one of his most obvious duties was before the king would drink the wine, he had to drink from that same cup in order to be certain that it wasn't poisoned. So therefore, every time he would need to drink. The Chachomim were matir, because of this situation, they were matir him to drink. So we call him Hatir Shata, Hatir Shata. So now, he told those families that had lost their passports, supposedly, that their current situation will be, Asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakodashim, they are never to eat again from, now it sounds like Kodesh HaKadoshim specifically, but we'll see, it's not what it means. Ad amot kohen l'urim v'tumim. Until there's a kohen that can ask in the urim v'tumim if they are kosher or not. Now, obviously, there was not going to be any kohen with an urim v'tumim because they didn't have the urim v'tumim in the second base HaMikdash. As Rashi explains based on the Gemara elsewhere, what this means is it's like somebody says today, when Mashiach comes, then we'll worry about it. So that's what he's saying. Right now, you can forget about being Kohanim. And you can't eat from the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now, what does that mean? Omar Lehem, Hatushata basically said to them, listen, gentlemen, you have a chazaka. So, Areyatem Becheskatchem, you can maintain your chazaka. What did you used to eat that was only kosher for Kohanim when you were in Bavel? You ate Kachay Hagvu. You ate Truma. Truma is called Kachay Hagvu because you don't have to be in Yerushalayim to eat it. So here too, and now that you've come to Eretz Yisrael, you can continue to eat Kodesh HaGvul. So since it says that they were Chalolim, so meanwhile we've proven that they are Chalolim that came from Eretz Yisrael. And wait a minute, hold on a second. But remember we had this big machlokas back in Ksuvos about whether someone who is eating Truma can be assumed because of that to be a Kohen Miyuchas. So according to that Mandi Omar, who says if you see someone eating Truma, that you are allowed, therefore, to marry, a Kohen is allowed to marry into that family, how could Atirshata give them Truma? Ani Da'ochlo Truma, Oser Lasukino? The ones that are eating Truma could end up, because of that, causing a mistake in their Yichus, and then other Kohanim are going to marry these possible Chalolim, right? How can you do that? No, that's different over there, because Shani Asim Diriyach Eskatayu. No one is going to think that they're kosher. either as Tosfos learns because of the big tumult that was in all the papers when they came, or the way Rashi is learning, the very fact that they cannot eat kochim, as we'll see, means that everyone knew they can't be real kohanim. So we're just allowing them to eat truma. Wait a second. The way you just explained it, how in the world did Rabbi Yossi say, look how great Chazak is? What do you mean, how great Chazak is? It didn't do anything. There's no expansion of the Chazaka. They were originally eating truma, and now they're eating truma. So what's the expansion? So my Gedola Chazaka, I just say, you see, we rely on Chazaka. Obviously, I mean, we rely on Chazaka. So what's changed? No, it's a big change. Because when they were in Bavel, they were only eating truma derabanan. Because things grown in Bavel are not chayev in truma midiraisa. And now, in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be allowing them to eat truma, and then that truma would be even a derisa. And therefore, we're extending the chazak. It's now much more powerful than it originally was, right? So now, there's basically an important issue over here about whether it means that right away there was truma derisa, because remember, the Rambam paskens that there is no truma derisa. It's only nogea when Rov Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. So why does it say now they were allowed to eat truma derisa? Okay, so that it could be that that's part of the machlokas, or it could be that maybe the idea was, I'm allowing you to eat truma even when the aliyah continues. He didn't think that there was going to be just 40,000 people. He figured everybody's going to come streaming to Eretz Yisrael, and that at that point, you're going to have truma d'oraisa. And once he was conveyed that they could eat truma in Eretz Yisrael, it would also be truma d'oraisa. Anyway, so that is definitely a much broader use of the chazaka than it had been originally. Well, you know what? It could be that really he was only matir eating truma derabanan, which might mean, because there is no truma derisa. Or it might mean, if there is truma derisa, again, this is Machlokas Rishon, this way Rashi learns, if there is truma derisa, so that he only allowed them to eat in Eretz Yisrael truma of perot v'yirakot, which is even in Eretz Yisrael only derabanan, and only the dagan tirosh v'yitzar is derisa. Maybe he only allowed them. Okay, so then there's no problem of the yichus issue, because v'chi maskina mitrum l'yichusim, only midiraisim in rabbanon lo maskina. This handles the yichus problem, but it doesn't handle the other problem, because if that's the case, there's no expansion of the original chazaka. See, achi my gedola chazaka, we're not doing anything else. Yes, we are. Because in Bavel, you can eat truma because what might happen? Maybe you'll eat truma d'oraisa, and there'll be masik yuliyuch. There is no truma d'oraisa there. So lechatchila, they were eating based on their chazok of being kayanim. They were eating only truma d'rabbanan, where there's no chashash of ever getting the truma d'oraisa. So the meikar, back in Bavel, lekele b'gzer mishrum truma d'oraisa, there would be no basis of extending the halacha as a gzer min rabbanan. But once they came to Eretz Yisrael, now it should be maybe be geyser if we're going to allow them to eat truma derabanan. So maybe they will ultimately come to eat truma derisa again, either because they'll eat dagan tirosh v'yitzar, or because people will come until there's rov Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael become truma derisa. So therefore, we would ought to be geyser, right? Nonetheless, Atishata allowed them to continue to eat drabona, just the araisa, not to avoid the yichus implications, and people would mistake them for being fully acknowledged kohanim. I don't get it. In the pasuk it says kodesh kodashim. It says vayomar atishata lehem asher lo yochlu mikodesh kodashim, and you're saying no, they could eat. I mean, what does that mean? That Bekodesh HaKodeshim only, it means real Bosser of Korbanos they can't eat. But anything else, even Truma D'Oraisa they could eat, right? I mean, because otherwise, why? I mean, of all funny things to say, Kodesh HaKodeshim? No, you misunderstand. That Pasuk was this. You cannot eat Kodesh, and you cannot eat Kodeshim. That's what he told them. Lo Kodesh v'lo Kodeshim. What does that mean? Lo mida de mikra kodesh, lo mida de mikra kodesh. Lo mida de mikra kodesh. Truma. What is truma called? Chol zar lo yochal kodesh. And that whole pasuk was referring to truma, because it says Uba Hashem Shvatar, and Uba Hashem Shvatar is only true about truma, because for kachem is truma chusar kapora, you can't eat it. So obviously that's a reference to truma. And there's something else that's called kodashim. What's that? Bat kohen. It says, well, meet it in mikra kodashim. The omakra. Bat kohen ki tiele isa. Hiba trumata kodashim lo tochal. So what does that mean? Normally, if she marries a zar, what happens if she gets divorced and she doesn't have children? She is allowed to continue to eat, or if he dies, she is allowed to continue to eat truma. But she's not allowed, why, from her father, but she's not allowed to go back to eating what she used to before her marriage, to eat muram min hakodashim. So she's not allowed to eat from a chazev v'shok of a shlomim, even though currently she has no husband who's in Yisrael. She's back in her father's house in terms of achilas truma, but she is not allowed to eat mimurama min hakodashim lo tochal. So that's what Atishata was referring to. Lovely gentlemen, wishing you a wonderful week of Besuras Teves, Hinei El Yeshua Si, Eftach V'lo Evchad, and we mentioned Bayudim HaTorah, V'simcha, V'sason, V'yekar, just to remind us of the Milchoma that took place at the time of Mordechai V'Esther, where they too had to deal with all of the inyanim of hatred, and of lies, and of Lashon Hara, V'ein Lecha Mesaper Lashon Hara Ke'aman, and they came out with a massive, massive gilui of Kvei Shamayim, and the Chizuk of Yisrael. Yiratzen, we should be zeichet to see it b'yameinu b'mehira. Kol tov, Shavua tov, see you tomorrow. Don't forget to save Etein Talu Matar, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, obviously. Kol tov, Laila tov.